All right, class, let's begin unfolding the mysteries of supernatural ministry. All ministry is supposed to be supernatural, but there's a lot of time they're not. I told you something that I want you to record. Surprises with expectation. In other words, the supernatural always producing and manifesting surprises, and you have to expect the supernatural. You are designed by God to be a commander of the supernatural. Now, here's what ministry in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now notice that prayer is first, then the ministry of the word, all right? Now, we started out looking at 1 John 5:19. I know it'll take you a little bit to find it. 1 John 5:19, but I gotta go on. Apostle John brings us to an awareness of a fact in 1 John 5:19. And we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. Now, the supernatural end is no matter what wickedness or what comes up, I must always know that I am of God and I'm above all wickedness and all situation that ever come up in the world. I'm above that because I am of God. I want you to listen now. You got the capability, you got the mind to listen. I am of God, so I'm above all wickedness. And then he says, but of course that includes you because we know that we are of God. Now, a revelation will come out in a few moments that is very important. If God is your father, see, I want you to minister this to people. The events happening in your life will be nothing less than what is happening in heaven. You heard that? If God is your father, you should be living a heavenly life above all that hell has to offer. In other words, wickedness is going to go on. You got to train people that they're going to always have wickedness around them, wrongdoing around them. But your life, because you're connected with God, you're a partaker of his divine nature, is a heavenly life. Let me give that to you. If God is your father, the events happening in your life would be nothing less than what is happening in heaven. Even though the world lies in wickedness, but you don't lie in the wickedness with the world because you have heavenly kingdom citizenship because of your relation to Jesus Christ. Every born-again believer is a child of God. And because God is a spirit, you belong to the class of spirits. Oh my goodness. You're not just only, see, in ministering, you have to let people know you're not just only physical. You're not just only mental, but you're connected. You're more than all, you're spiritual. Get back in your seat and sit up and listen. You're spiritual. See, let me read this to you again. Every born-again believer is a child of God. And because God is a spirit, that's what the Bible says he is. The Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And so if God is a spirit, you belong to the class of spirits. So that means you belong to miracles, signs, wonders. The supernatural is really your realm. And so I want ministers from this school training to know, to teach people their real realm in life is the spirit realm, meaning that it's the supernatural realm, meaning that miracles, sign, wonders, diverse gifts of the Holy Ghost supposed to function in your ministry and in their lives. What you see of your physical self is not the real you. What? That's not the real you. The real you is a spirit. Your physical body is only a covering. The real you is spirit. See, unless we understand that, we're not going to be able to function and walk in the laws of the supernatural. By the law of life, make a note of Romans 8:11. Spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in me. By the law of life, lack can only become lack. A goat only can give birth to a goat, a lion and lion and so forth. From today, you will manifest the reality of your divine status. Your divine status is spirit. See, your spirit being. You can't go by what you can't go by what your body telling you. You can't go by what the news media telling you. You can't go by what you're feeling telling you. Because you're a spirit and you can overrule everything because heaven is always backing you up. So from today, you will manifest the reality of your divine nature. Now, that divine nature is in 2 Peter chapter 1. You're partakers of his divine nature. And this is what it says. Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 is either verse 4 or 5. It says, because you're a partaker of the divine nature, there's a word I want you to see there. And there's a word I want you to minister throughout the world as you go. I don't have no idea where you are going, what you are going to do. In verse 4 of 2 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1 and 4, outstanding. I mean, you read the verses before that, it gives you a lot, but for time's sake, I'm going to read that fourth verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of divine nature. Then it says this, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've escaped because you're partakers of divine nature. What the partaker of divine nature is? I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in the body. Are you following me? So I'm partaker. I got God living on the inside of me. So therefore, what this world and satanic power offer can't stop me. All right, listen. This message has been packed, repackaged to provoke you to rise up and take charge of the events of your life. As you rediscover your roots in God, you will begin to unlock the vast potential of the supernatural for your welfare in life. I'm going to give you that again. As you rediscover your roots in God, you will begin to unlock the vast potentials of the supernatural for the welfare of your life. Give me that stool. I'm going to sit in that stool. I've been working already. All right. I'm going to give you something to go with that. Hallelujah. Now listen, because we're teaching you, that's a short stool there. I need a tall stool. You better go down and get the other one. As we're teaching you this, this will cause you from now on, you will begin to reign in life. Reign, what reign mean? Reign means you begin to take control of everything because you're living from the inside and you're not living from the outside. Satan can't live in you because you've already escaped him because you're a child of God. This is what we need to do, what we need to train people. You will break the shackles of poverty. You will break the shackles of disease, the shackles of disease. Break every shackle of defeat and all the negative forces that keep men from fulfilling the purpose of God for their life. So you break them. You break them by knowing all heaven backed me up. I'm a spiritual being. I'm anointed, I'm appointed, I have an assignment from God. I have the divine communion or the divine assistant, listen very carefully, of the Holy Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit. So, it is said, welcome to the unmolestable. Molested means something took you over, like rape. Unchangeable, undefeatable realm of life. Welcome to the supernatural. And see, what happened, we in this generation, we got to bring the church into the commanding power of the supernatural. Now here's a verse I love in Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 19, trying to find it. Romans 8 and 19, help them, Jay. Romans 8 and 19, y'all should have them phones, y'all can pick them in there. Romans 8 and 19. I'm going to make a statement. It's real and it's unreal. It's real to some and it's unreal to others. Statement that I'm going to make. It's real to some and it's unreal to others. I'm going to try to make it real to you today. All right. And that statement is, the sons, S-O-N-S, of God are here. And Romans 8 and 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation. Now that word is important. Manifestation is important. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5 is important. Demonstration are important. The supernatural deal with manifestation and demonstration that could not be done, have been done any other way. It's a power that is beyond human existence. So when you recognize, the Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. So you're sons of God. But without maturity, you're not going to manifest. When you begin to manifest or begin to have experience that is beyond this world, you're operating in the supernatural. So the 19th verse says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, they're not going to manifest as ministers of the gospel. We don't train them. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. All right, now. The whole earth has been held down, tormented, afflicted, and buffeted by the devil. Until sons of God start rising up, knowing that they are above him and operating in the supernatural, having manifestation and demonstration with heaven backup, such as miracles, signs, wonders, and diverse gifts of the Holy Ghost. There's a cry of oppression. I want the student in this school, as humanity groan in pain, and it's getting worse and worse. Looking here and there and search for emancipation and a way out. That's why God called us. We should manifest. What the world actually is waiting for is the manifestation of the Son of God. Not just saying you're a son. Men and women who will, by the power of God, bring deliverance and liberty to mankind. And see, we got to do that. We can't do that by just telling a poem, just preaching a little 4-point outline. See, I'm dealing with ministers. But I want y'all to listen. A little four-point outline. There has to be some manifestation and demonstration in your life, knowing that you're backed up by a higher power. They're waiting. The church waiting. People in the church, they're hurting. They don't know what to do. Religion can't get it. Denomination can't get it. Big names can't get it. Nothing but this book can get it. Manifested in the revelation of this book. The world is waiting for the sons of God who will, listen now, disarm forces of wickedness and bring the creature out of the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. The whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now, waiting for the sons of God, listen, to rescue them out of shame and reproach. That's what I want to happen from this school. Everyone that is, we're talking about unlimited ministry. We're talking about a ministry that is constantly tapping into the impossible by the Spirit, constantly making things possible that is not possible. You hear the story in John chapter 2, the first miracle. Jesus' mother, Mary, give us a revelation of the supernatural. In John 2, 5, whatsoever he says to you, do it. You're not going to be able to do it by your senses. You'll do it by your spirit. Whatsoever Jesus said to you, do it. That first miracle, water was turned into wine. Supernaturally. So whatever people dealing with, ministers, if a minister walking in his right anointing, as another word, has to do with the supernatural. Anointing. Walking in the right anointing and the right revelation and the right understanding and the right wisdom and the right discernment, they can lead people into green pasture, lead people into miracles, signs, and wonders as Son of God. So the world is waiting for sons of God who will disarm the forces of wickedness and bring the creatures out of bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of God, to whom the creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now, waiting for the Son of God to rescue them out of shame and reproach. Everyone that is born again is a child of God and is an heir, isn't it that now, an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. But the whole creation, I mean everyone, all the whole world, is now waiting for children. It's not waiting for children, but children, because children cannot exercise, I want you to get these two words, three words here. The dominion and authority that will result in their liberty. See, the supernatural bring us into a realm of dominion and authority that Satan, the world system, and the sense realm can't stop. The world is waiting for the sons of God. Here's some of the things a son is given. Everyone is born a child. This is true in the natural as well as the spiritual. However, every child has potential of becoming a son. There's a seed of sonship. Listen to this. There's a seed of sonship implanted in everyone at birth, which will have to undergo the unusual growth processes for it to, that word coming up, mature in sonship. If you look in Galatians chapter 4, look in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. It tells you as long as you're a child, you will not be able to receive your inheritance. As long as you're a servant and don't recognize that you're a son. You know, the Bible says, somebody says, serving the Lord will pay off after a while. But don't, you just can't be a servant. You got to recognize that you are in the family. You're a child of God. You're a son of God. A child is born, but sons are given. What you mean? Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Although everyone has the potential of becoming a son, most Christian are not. Not everyone does in reality. Biological age tied, not with understanding. So, in other words, they stay in their biological, physical sonship, but they never move in maturity and get into their spiritual sonship. So here's what the sad thing is. Many adults live as children all their lives. Such people are quite incapable of taking vital decisions or handling responsibility. There are some, though married, are still ruled by their parents. See, we get a comparison of the physical to the spiritual. Their parents tell them when to love their wife and when not to. They never grew up. Until anyone mature into a son, he is excluded from handling certain responsibility. Listen to this. Listen to this, son. Can you imagine an 8-year-old child being crowned as a king? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with age? What's wrong with crowning an 8-year-old child as a king? Somebody already asked, what's wrong with it? They're not mature enough. They don't know what to do. They don't have no experience. No matter his right to the throne, he will have to undergo the unusual growth processes until he matures to be an adulthood. What I'm saying is that we need to train people to grow up. And we go to Galatians 4:1 now. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. We got about 14 minutes. God, on his part, does not entrust authority to children, but the son. What's the difference between children and son? The children have not grown up. And I'm saying to you all as ministers of the gospel, if you don't watch yourself, a large percentage of the church is in that condition, so we got to preach his word. However, in the church today, too many are still children, suffering the same affliction, same oppression, same failure, same family crisis, and stagnation as the world because of Galatians 4:1. Galatians 4:1 says, as long as you're a child, you cannot receive your heirship. An heir, on the other hand, who is not yet matured for his throne, will be kept under regency, which will decide and execute decisions for him. That's almost the whole church. He has no freedom or ability to exercise authority. He has no freedom or ability to exercise dominion. Whatever is decided is good enough for him, because he can't change it. He'll not change it. They say a prayer, they sing song, they clap their hands, but we got to get the body of Christ. We got to become matured for it. Until he become matured, listen to this. In Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give you power. Tread on serpent and scorpion. The power of the enemy shall do you no harm. But you can't do that. Until he become matured, his authority is as it was under bondage. Just like in the natural, there are many in the kingdom who, though born again, but are being robbed and cheated by the devil and his agent because they can't take authority over him, because they don't know what to do. They're like little children. This is not because they have the right, don't have the right to do so, because their victim refused to grow. So the word here is, so grow up. See, and so their ministers haven't grown up. Grow up so you can teach people how to be matured Christian. You read the last few verses in Hebrews 5, and you go into Hebrews 6, you see what a sad condition, how people go round and round and round in circles. Go round and round in circles. Go get Jonathan and bring him back. He can't. Went to the restroom, all right. Bring him back. All right. And he gonna get him. See. All right. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. See, growing, there you go, growing is important. Growing is important. Say that. Growing is important. Growing in the spirit is important. Class, listen to me. Growing in the spirit is important. Only babies feed on milk for growth. For an adult, milk is no longer and essential for growth. It could be quite irritating to see a grown adult, like I said, before I get in my note, with a bottle in their mouth, carrying about a feeding bottle. And that's, a parallel. You know what parallel means? It's a comparison. Physical life with spiritual life. There's a comparison. What he needs is solid food that will give strength to his muscle, solid word, solid revelation, solid inspiration, solid insight, solid anointing. That's what we want to take from this school, that we have the presence of God. My goodness. The blessings of God, wearing an anointing, destroying yokes, and removing burden by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power of using the sword of the Spirit properly, that the Word of God is spirit and life, that the Word of God can do things that no other power can do. That's what I want out of every student in this school. The fact that you are born again does not give you automatic access, to your kingdom inheritance. And see, people need to know this. You know, people got saved and they're genuinely saved, but that don't give them access. Access has to come along with another divine word called confidence, along with another divine word called revelation, insight. That's why access means I can go there. You can read the Bible and see tremendous things happening to Daniel, things happening to Peter, Paul, and all the other ones, but can you go there? The book is no good unless you can go there. And so that's where we, as ministers of God, had to train. We can't preach these little sermonettes and preach these little sermons to make people feel good. We have to give people data. This Sunday, I preached to them how to take the handcuff off their thoughts. Now, they left. I saw on the countenance on the people. They had great joy. Their faith handcuffed wrong thoughts. Now, they got something they can do. As soon as they got in their car, if something come up, they knew what to do. In the name of Jesus, I handcuffed that. You see what I'm saying? So we have to give them living messages. We can't be performing through emotion and excitement without no revelation. That's so important because you can't grow. You can't grow in the spirit world without revelation, without insight. Are you following me? All right. They need solid food. The fact that you are born again does not give you automatic access to your kingdom inheritance. Access to my kingdom inheritance. I want access to my kingdom inheritance. So you see, access to the kingdom inheritance mean that I'm going to have to walk by faith, mean that I'm going to have to be led by the Spirit, mean that I'm going to have to know the Word of God, mean it's carrying all of that connotation. Access, having access to my kingdom inheritance. You're not going to have it without revelation. You're not going to have it without anointing. You see what I'm saying? And so it's our job to put revelation in people, put anointing in people, put authority in people, put dominion in people by the revelation coming out of our mouth and by the anointing we're wearing within and upon our lives. In fact, no matter the prophecies that have gone before you, you will have to grow in them through knowledge and spiritual exercises. You must see their manifestation in your life. In other words, and this is what people waiting on. People waiting on somebody to speak over them. All right? I can speak a word over you, but if you don't know how to exercise, if you're not you don't have enough knowledge, if you don't have enough spirituality to exercise it, it won't do you no good. The Lord said it. I said it to you, but you can't walk in it. Because you point back to what I said. No, what you say now. That was to you, for you to you, but you're still a baby. You're still sucking the bottle. So you're not going to be able to go there. Understand what I'm saying? As long as you refuse to grow, what I say? You will live as a servant without tasting a vast portion of your inheritance in Christ. You got to grow. Therefore, it's not just enough to discover. Wow. Wow. Our heritage. Those discoveries must be developed, or they might as well not exist. So what good it is for y'all to go and for us to preach the Bible, read the Bible, memorize verses, telling people all them different fairy tales or tales, and the people, when they leave church, they ain't got nothing to work with. Don't leave this school with that kind of idea. I'm demanding you to be anointed. I'm demanding you to be a student. Paul says, study yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that rightly divide the word, not needing to be ashamed. See, this is important. Manifesting your sonship. Manifesting your sonship. Our sonship is the backbone of life in the supernatural. Our sonship is the backbone of life in the supernatural. So why are we not seeing a whole lot of supernatural things happening in the church? We're babies in the line, want somebody to lay a hand on us. We've been trained to be babies. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. See, sons and daughters of God are qualified to do exploits, to do supernatural things, to do phenomenal things, to just walk in a realm that is above this world. Let me close here. Our sonship gives us access to walk in the supernatural. Our sonship access miracles, access signs, access wonders, access, in other words, diverse kind of gift of the Holy Ghost, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, all of those things are in our sonship. John 1:12 said, but as many as receive him, now watch what he said then, talking about Jesus, to them, now watch what he said, give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in him. So when you accept him, you become a son, but that sonship is not validated until you begin to grow. Y'all doing a good job. Just listen a few more minutes. The cardinal mark of sonship, or the cardinal, C-A-R-D-I-N-A, mark of sonship is power. Power to reign, power to exercise authority. What I said? Power to exercise. Anyone who is born again has this power, potentially, to reign, good God of mine, and to exercise authority, to reign and to exercise. Any people you training, word of life, I train them to reign when they left church Sunday morning, to reign and to exercise authority over the devil, over the world system, over situation, over any attack. See, Satan is no match for you unless he can distract you, unless he can deceive you, unless he can give you some deceptive thought. But when you grow in maturity, you say, Satan, I bind you. I take a thought. Get back where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be under my feet. I'm going to walk on you today in the name of Jesus. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. What I see don't look like I'm winning, but I'm walking in a greater dimension of sight. I'm seeing in the spirit world, and all I see is victory. If I keep seeing victory, my feeling going to change. I keep seeing victory, my situation gonna change, because he reign, he rule, he regulate. Are you following me? So Christ, I'm gonna close with this. There are many churches. I mean, only way you can grow in sonship is by manifestation. There are many in the church today who, though they're born again, hardly have anything tangible to show for their Christianity. But the truth is that they are victims of ignorance more than anything else. We have to bring God's people to the place where they can operate in authority, operate in manifestation, operate in demonstration, operate in power. And this is what you're going to do. As long as you're a student in school, this is what you're going to leave with. I'm imparting to you that cup of anointing. It's been on my life for 48 years. God sent you to the school for that reason. That impartation is upon you. It's not a feeling, it's a revelation. It's not a feeling, it's a truth. But you got to grow. You know, I've just told the church, my wife and I, we fasted 16 hours. 16 hours fasting, praying. Next day we fasted 18 hours, fasting and praying. And God said, every step, this morning God said, every step you make, I'm going to be with you. See, I know he's present. He said, every step you make, I'm going to be with you. God bless you.